This is WHQR Presents, where we platform interesting people and perspectives from around our region. Today's show is From a Poet's Point of View, featuring artists organized by Speak Your Piece NC, hosted by Melanie Nicole, a.k.a. Carrie Asada, and featuring guests Robert Bellamy, a.k.a. Scale Hamhock the Poet, Dr. Lewis Anderson, and Makeda Baker, a.k.a. Mama Makeda. This episode was recorded on July 16th to discuss the 4th of July, or as some of these poets call it, the 4th of July, as well as Juneteenth. This program does contain some challenging topics and explicit language, so while we hope you will enjoy it, we encourage some listener discretion. And a quick note, while WHQR is committed to sharing voices from around our community, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast series don't necessarily represent WHQR. It's simply fantasy, far from reality. Poetry is the language of imagination. Poetry
is a form of positive creation. Difficult, isn't it? The point. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Melanie Nicole, a.k.a. Carrie Asada, and I'm the founder of Speak Your Piece, North Carolina, and the name of this podcast is called From a Poet's Point of View. We're so happy to be here today at WHQR Studios. Can we show some love for Ben Shockman and the WHQR family? Let's give them some snaps.
What's up, Ben? What's up, Ben?
Thank you, Ben, so much for giving us this opportunity to have a discussion today. Whenever we begin to have a discussion before we start, we always like to ask Mama Makeda to give the libations so that we can honor the ancestors and also give them permission to be in this space with us. So before we begin to have the guests introduce themselves, we're going to ask Mama Makeda to do the libations. Is that all right, Mama Makeda?
That is fine. That is fine. That is fine. Hotep. And thank you to Ben and to WHQR for hosting this and allowing us to be here. The libation, as we always do, is a tribute to a recognition of and a calling forth of our ancestors. And in traditional African society, before any kind of meeting or any kind of ceremony takes place, there is always a call unto the ancestors. And regardless of where we are located on the map or geographically, because we are an African people, we are able to reach out and touch the hand symbolically of the next person on the line, because we are connected by our melanin, our consciousness, and Mama Africa. So just for the next few moments, we say Garan Nefer, and we call upon our ancestors. We call upon our Netchers, our ancestors, in acknowledgement of their presence. We call upon Nuet, our heavens. We call upon Hapi, our holy waters, Geb, our mother earth, Shu, our sacred air, and Mut, our sacred mother principle. We call upon Nut, our beloved sky, and Ta Mary, our beloved land. We say Imhotep, we say Aimanja, we say Chidi, Sadoa, we say Sia Ekis, Sia Ekpatu Neturu, Ankwa Sonep Neb, Mire Jedang Shishonki Jehudi Ma'at Re Shechem Ma'at Ma'akaru, Duwa Pata, Duwa Heru, Duwa Heru, Uben Tawe. Because we are an African people, we acknowledge, we give thanks, and we recognize those who have gone before us. In traditional African society, life exists on three levels. Those who have gone before us and now reside within the earth, the ancestors. Those of us yet walking on top of the earth, and those yet to come, the unborn. We recognize the holiness and the sanctity in all life as an African people. We call upon and recognize those who've gone before us, those who paved the way, those who saw that on this day in 2025, we would be gathered right here at WHQR, not only giving acknowledgement and recognition to them, but speaking truth and doing truth. As Dr. Jacob Carruthers said, Jed Ma'at, Er Ma'at. And we do that, we do that. We pair off, we pair Necha. We understand that we are the moisture of ancestral Hapi, and we are the brilliance of Ray. We are she and he whose whispers are heard among the Nile Sands. We are the question answered, and we are the essence of Aten. Where we stand, where we sit, we are on holy ground, and we breathe in universal rhythm. And we respond only to the sounds emanating from our holy of holies, our Abu Simbel. And right now, we claim this is our Wehimimisu, our Septepi, and we say Heka and Husia. We say Hotep, 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 Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you so much, Mama Makeda, for that beautiful libation. I appreciate it. And Hotep. I know that the ancestors are pleased, and I'm so thankful this afternoon to be able to have a discussion that I feel like the viewers listening need to hear, and also we as people of African ancestry need to be able to discuss the stark differences between Juneteenth and the 4th of July, which I like to say the 4th of July, because as I found out growing up, that there are a lot of lies surrounding that holiday. And at some point during the conversation, we will break out into poetry, because this is from a poet's point of view. So poetry always has to be centered, connecting to the conversation that we have here. So I thought it would be befitting to start off with allowing our guest, Dr. Lewis Anderson, introduce himself and just tell us a little bit about himself, and then we'll move on. So everyone, let's give Dr. Lewis Anderson some snaps, because that's what poets do.
We snap. What's up?
And Dr. Lewis Anderson, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your field of study, and just anything that you would want anyone who is just being introduced to you to know about you.
Yeah, well, thanks for inviting me. I, I really enjoyed getting to know you and your husband, Robert, and the people in Wilmington, Ms. Beller and Lavelle and other people like that. And then I met some people from the Freeman family, and my family last name is Freeman, so I was interested in that, and I went to a like a talk at this museum before I left. So it was a very blessed experience. I was invited to talk to the Juneteenth celebration, and I had a different spin on that. From Ms. Beller and her group. But I am from Charleston, South Carolina. I grew up on the Sea Island, so I have an affinity to our ancestors. We could trace our heritage back to West Africa, primarily Sierra Leone, but then most recently, that came into question because, you know, the colonizers threw up a line of demarcation between these nations in Africa. And my suspicion is that some of my ancestors came from Angola. That was reinforced when I discovered that the Stono River Rebellion occurred about 20 miles from where I grew up. And it was led by Angolans, and that was the very first insurrection rebellion in the colonies. And because of that, and because of the damage that was done, the colonists in South Carolina mandated and put in a law that every man there had to have a gun. And then that started that path of brutality and that sort of thing. But the Angolans, their goal was to move from South Carolina to Florida, link up with the Seminoles, and then go to Haiti and be part of that rebellion there. So anyway, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina on the Sea Islands, and I always had an affinity for the Sea Island and the culture and the beauty. So I've always been, and primarily my people have always been really invested in Africa and what it was to be a person of African descent. So then I went to college at Fisk. Then I went to grad school where I got my PhD. And I did some training not very far from Wilmington at a place called Duke Medical Center. And then I developed some expertise in health psychology. And then I was a university professor at Penn State and Georgia State, and then I went to Jackson State. And when I went to Jackson State, and then I left there and went to Prairie View, Texas, which was a, then my, I remember my mom said, "Lewis, are you moving further south?" I didn't realize what she meant, but boy, that was just a eye-opening. So anyway, I've since retired, and I've been just continuing my quest to learn more about Mother Africa and learn more about my heritage.
I wanted to get into the actual conversation here about the 4th of July, and I would like to ask you, Mama Makeda, growing up, how were you introduced to the 4th of July? Is it a holiday that your family celebrated, or did you know anything about it, possibly through school, through community, or your family?
Well, I grew up in South Carolina, but mostly in Chicago. I am from Chicago, born there. And of course, the schooling, the educational system promotes all of the European holidays. So as a child growing up there, the families did celebrate the 4th of July, not only because it was a holiday, but because those working adults would be off. And of course, there was always gatherings at someone's home. There was always a cookout, lots of laughter, lots of fun. And so again, as a child celebrating that, not realizing what was the actual story behind the story, it was just another holiday that you celebrated being a citizen of this country.
Okay.
Now we know better. Now we know better.
Yeah, we do know better. Thank you for that information. And Robert, a.k.a. Scaleham Hawk the Poet, do you have any memories of the 4th of July growing up?
Oh, yes. Pretty much what Mama Makeda had said. But as a boy, you know, we fought in the war. You know, we did some enactments as to, you know, winning the war, you know, and to save our country and to fighting off the British. We did all these things as a kid.
Wow. So you mean as a kid you would actually pretend to be soldiers in the war fighting?
Yes.
Okay. That's very interesting. I never heard that before. I guess also, you know, boys play a little more different than girls do, because as a little girl, I certainly never pretended to be in a war, even though I realize now that we're truly in one.
And absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that. And Dr. Anderson, do you have any memories of the 4th of July?
And bear with me. That's why I was going to get to it with the family history. My my uncles went to the war, and they went to the Korean War, World War II. So when it came to the whole notion of, you know, Declaration of Independence and the 4th of July, we always had a reflective notion, and they didn't talk about the war, but they talked about what it meant to go to the war, come back here, and didn't have the kind of rights that they should have had. And so I've always, and primarily because of my dad, always had a reflective position on both the 4th and the Declaration of Independence, particularly when it says our unalienable rights of life, liberty, and happiness. So I've always had, personally, and my family always had that kind of position where we kind of scrutinize the meaning of these holidays.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And I would like to share a quote at this time by one of our mighty ancestors, Baba Frederick Douglass. And he said, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" And now I know, Mama Makeda, that under your teachings, that using the word slave is definitely a no-no. So when you hear that quote, "What to the slave is the 4th of July," what comes up for you?
Well, two things. And as you said, the term slave, it really is incorrect. It's a misnomer. There were no slaves. We were not slaves. We were human beings who were invaded, captured, and brought to another land and enslaved. And there's a difference between a person who is born a slave and someone who is born enslaved. To be a slave is to have literally a non-human existence and to be at the mercy and the crimes of those who are your so-called owners or your enslavers. But to be enslaved is to be in an involuntary position. But what Frederick Douglass was saying about, you know, what is that to the slave? And I'm sure he did not mean any derogatoriness when he used the term slave, but what is that to the slave? In that, here we are celebrating, even back then, celebrating independence from some colonialists, while the colonialists are enslaving those they stole from another country. So the irony being that I'm owned by someone who is celebrating their freedom from someone else. And how ironic and oxymoronic can you get more than that? In that I'm expected, as one enslaved, I'm expected to uphold you in all of your diabolicalness as you celebrate your freedom while enslaving me.
Wow. Thank you so much. I appreciate your comment. And Dr. Anderson, this quote made by another one of our mighty ancestors, Baba W.E.B. Du Bois, he said that the cost of liberty is less than the price of repression. What does that quote stir up for you?
Well, Du Bois was a great leader and an iconic figure. And I remember the other quote he talked about is skin, hair, and bone, and that's the dividing line. And he was a fundamental believer in educating Black folks. And the point of all, and like Malcolm said, you gotta be suspicious of any holiday, anybody that was the white folks have a hand in. So when you talk about oppression, you talk about a clear diabolical act by the oppressors. And when you look at the Constitution, it was white man oriented. It had nothing to do with Blacks because they did not think that we were human beings. That's a key thing. So I don't delude myself that the Constitution was not written for me because they didn't see me as a human being. I saw myself as a human being, and that right had to be fought. And it was not codified in law until the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And to Scaleham Hawk the Poet, thank you for your comment, Dr. Anderson. I'd like to ask you what comes up when you hear this quote by Mama Audre Lorde. She said, "I am deliberate and afraid of nothing." Mm. What comes up for you?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is strength, you know, resilience, not looking back and moving forward, because there was so many people being oppressed during that time is that they had no other thought in their mind but to, you know, to act out and be that person. So I feel that today.
Thank you. And I just want to, I appreciate your comment. I just want to say to you, Robert, or Scaleham Hawk the Poet, which you affectionately go by, being a former boxer yourself, can you just give us an idea of what goes on in the head of a man when he comes face to face with another man? What do you have to do for yourself mentally to prepare yourself to become the victor in the ring when you're fighting? Because quite often, anyone that engages in physical sports, it's a lot more mental than people think. It's just not the physical. So can you just, you know, briefly let us know the preparation that it takes to be able to be in a ring with another man, and you tell yourself, I'm gonna kick his ass. What? How do you get to that?
Well, mentally and physically, you have to prepare yourself for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get into the ring, you have developed all these skills so that you know how to maneuver inside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
When you approach your opponent, you know, you don't just jump on him. You don't actually, you don't want to think that, well, I'm the greatest. I know a lot of fighters say, well, you know, I don't care about the other guy. I'm going to go ahead and knock him out. But you have to have a strategy. And that's the same thing in life. You have to have a strategy before you go out there and jump on anything. Anything that you're fighting for, you have to have a plan. And so the plan is to win, you know, to make sure that you hit him more than he's hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure that you're defending yourself at all times. And if they, when it comes to that point, with your strategy, you want to knock him out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And let's give Scale Hemhock the Poet some snaps, right? Because the idea is to knock the opponent out, right? So they don't get back up. And with that being said, I wanted to ask Dr. Anderson, because your family background being raised in Charleston, and I know from speaking to other people, also Robert, that the Gullah Geechee culture does exist in that space. Did you grow up knowing about Juneteenth, or is that something that you found out later on in your life?
Well, I found out about it later in life. Mm-hmm. But again, it was a different angle. And the angle was, back to my point about Malcolm, I grew up with a belief that you cannot rely on the oppressor to tell our story. That's why in that culture in Charleston, we always strive to tell our own stories. You can't rely on them. And you rose up, you mentioned Andrea Lord. She's one of my favorite poets. And she's basically said, you can't fight oppressors with the oppressor's tool. And similar to what Robert's saying. So the long and short of it is that we didn't have growing up, but I'm an elder. And so some of it was time. I'm sure that there's some celebrations now, but I at least I grew up with a different spin on the team. Because it's really more. I'm not celebrating the fact that it took 3 years for the oppressor, and they used and abused Black folks in those 3 years to tell the truth. So I look at the underlying belief and message associated with that hypocrisy. And again, the whole notion of constitution is a hypocrisy to some degree. But I do believe, though, that the constitution does provide hope. I believe hope in the sense that we are moving towards a more perfect union. It may not be in my time or my grandkids' time, but I do believe at some point that the parameters are there for to move to a more perfect union.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And I want to ask you, Scale Hamhock, the poet, when did you find out about Juneteenth?
Wow. Here in North Carolina, only a few years ago. I'm sure at some point I may have heard of it. But, I think it was 2017.
Wow.
That I really got into Juneteenth and started to understand what it was about and to understand why we were celebrating Juneteenth. You know, just the story behind it, knowing that in Galveston, Texas, that these people were free and didn't know it.
Mm.
It's a story that has a lot of horrible tales to it, because I'm sure at some point they had to keep a lot of people quiet. So that's when I learned about Juneteenth.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Mama Makeda, I would like to ask you about Juneteenth, referencing why do you think that this information has been held back from us about Juneteenth? And if you can somehow together tell us, why do you think that some of us actually celebrate the 4th of July?
Well, Carter G. Woodson informed us a century ago about the system of education, which is for us a system of miseducation. And anytime, who was it? Was it Malcolm or someone who said, well, anytime you depend upon your oppressor to educate your children, you know, you're in a sorry way. And this educational or miseducational system is designed so that we uphold, celebrate, and worship everything about them, but that we know nothing, absolutely nothing about ourselves and who we are and those things that involve and affect us. I think we today celebrate the those of us who do celebrate 4th of July, do so again because it's traditional. It's a holiday, and we know more about the 4th of July than we know about Juneteenth. And it's easier to acquiesce to things than it is to challenge them, to stand up and challenge them, and to go against the grain, so to speak. So I think it's just easier for Black people to just give in and just go along with the program. You know, that old go along to get along kind of thing. And plus you're getting a day off from work, you know, it's a holiday, it's a paid day off from work. So why not celebrate it? But we don't know what we need to know because it's been kept away from us. It's been kept hidden. It's been hushed, it's been denied, but that still does not excuse us from wanting to know, needing to know, and having to know. Because if we don't, then the next generations to come will be left in the dark as the previous generations and some of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And what I want to do at this time is just get everyone's I guess brief, really fast. I guess this is like a speed round of asking a question from everyone, and you just give a really fast answer, thought about, but fast answer, so we can make this our speed round. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Scale Hamhock, the poet, the 4th of July.
The 4th of July mean to me is educating myself and my people.
Okay, thank you. I like that. Let's give him some snaps.
Hotep, Scale Hamhart.
And Mama Makeda, what does the 4th of July mean to you?
Ooh, within the correct content and context, that just another part of the offensive and offense against non-white people to worship and celebrate white people.
Thank you. Let's give Mama Makeda some snaps for that.
What's up?
And Dr. Anderson, what does the 4th of July mean to you?
Contradictions, a level of complexity, and it provides motivation to truly understand the truth. Like Malcolm said, we can't be blinded by patriotism. Mm. That's what it means to me.
Wow. Mm. Thank you. Let's give Dr. Anderson some snaps.
What's up?
So anyone that might be listening, you know, the language for poetry, for applause, and to show love is to snaps. So I hope that everyone who is listening starts to catch on to snap when you hear poetry and when it feels good to you. And thank you, everyone, for participating in that speed round. I'm going to have another question, which I just want everyone to come back. Quickly, I've heard the term used for Juneteenth, free-ish, F-R-E-E-I-S-H, since 1865. Scale Hamhock the poet, what does that mean to you, free-ish?
I don't even really understand the word, you know, free-ish. I can't feel it, you know, you know, to tell you the truth, we are all born free, and that should be the stamp on it right there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Dr. Anderson, free-ish since 1865, what comes up for you?
You know, I kind of like what Robert said. I have to pass on that. I got to process that. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've heard it. I need to know, and I don't want to speak out of turn. So I'll pass on that one.
Okay. No, that's fine. Mama Makeda, when you hear the term free-ish, F-R-E-E-I-S-H, what comes up for you?
Well, it's kind of like somebody's asking you, well, what time will you be here? And you give them response, well, around 2-ish. Mm. And around 2-ish just kind of means around that time, similar to that time in that area. So free-ish would simply mean perhaps free on one hand, but kind of free-ish on the other hand. Some characteristics of freedom, but not all of freedom.
Mm. Okay, you know, thank you.
The illusion.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I know for me, poetically, the word free-ish, it just kind of constipates me, like mentally, you know, like it's stuck. What, you know, like it's stuck. It's not coming out. It's out, but it's not out. What the fuck does that mean? So excuse my language. Free-ish is to me just being stuck. And I feel like we are stuck a lot. Or often with our thinking. So that's my 2 cents on free-ish. But I would like to ask you, Scale Hamhock the poet, if you could share with us. Now, I know you have something prepared, but you know that I don't really work with preparation. I work with spontaneous. And Mama Makeda always gets on me. She goes, well, where did that question come from? So listen, just please recite the poem that I asked you to recite. No questions asked. You got it? Scale him off the poet. Can you do that? Okay, thank you. Yeah. Can you please share with us one of my favorite poems that I love for you to recite? This shit is just too real.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay. Can I give you first?
Okay.
Just so I did a little twist on a poem that I wrote, What is Freedom to a Black Man?
Yes, of course.
You know, by Frederick Douglass.
Okay. Just a little bit of it?
It's very short. I'll make it very short.
Okay.
Okay. What to a freed black man is the 4th of July. We fought in World War I and II and still couldn't look a white man in his eye. We fought under the slain American flag, live or die. And they still hate us. I don't understand why. I just don't understand why. So what to a black man is the 4th of July? We fought in the Revolutionary War from 1775 to 1783. But in every colony, they were still selling the enslaved into slavery. Died fighting, still in slavery. We fought to free the white man from a white king. But the Rhode Island regiment, who were promised their freedom, never got one thing.
Thank you. Let's give some snaps to Scale Him Out the Poet.
Oh, tap.
Now, if you would not mind, like, rolling right into one of my favorite poems, can you tell us what it's called again?
This Shit Is Just Too Real.
Okay, let us know about it.
I mean, This Shit Is Just Too Real. I mean, I know you know how I feel watching a black man on video getting choked, murdered, I mean, shot, just killed. I mean, the coronavirus and the measles are still taking lives at will. Damn Democrats and Republicans, they can't come together to pass a simple freaking bill. I mean, I know you know how I feel for 2020, 21, 22, 23, and 24. I wanted to appeal. I mean, we should start this whole year over in chill. I don't need no freaking booster shot for no measles. I need to take a freaking red pill, sit down, smoke a little weed, and talk about the shit that's happened on Capitol Hill. I mean, I know you know how I feel from 2020, 21, and 22. I wanted to appeal. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What's up? Because as Scale Him Off the Poet said, this shit is just too real. It's a whole lot going on in the world, y'all. And poetry definitely reflects the time. So thank you for sharing that with us. And Dr. Anderson, is there a poem that you have that you'd like to share with us?
Unfortunately not, but I'd like to make a comment if I could.
Yes, please do.
For me, we read our Constitution and we read the Declaration of Independence. But if you really want to know what white people think of black, read the Confederate Constitution. When they broke from the Union, they sat down and wrote their own constitution. It would give you no doubt what they thought about us. They believed that we were not human beings. When you think about it, if you understand how they think about us, put it in perspective, some of the stuff made sense. They did not think that we were human beings. We believe we are human beings. 99.9% of our genetic material is universal, but they didn't. People say that the war wasn't fought for slavery. Look at the Confederate Constitution. It was very clear that they fought it because they wanted to keep their property. And that's my summary.
Wow. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And Mama Makeda, can you...
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to share a poem, but I'd like for you to kind of connect to what Dr. Anderson just said on humanity. Can you give us, in your briefest way of speaking, the definition of what humanity is?
Wow. We've been taught that the word humanity is spelled H-U-M-A-N-I-T-Y, but for decades now, I've been spelling it H-U-E-M-A-N-I-T-Y, but that is the natural state of humanity. Humanity color is the natural state of humanity that 75 to 80% of the world's population has a degree of, and has melanin, a very visible melanin. So the definition of humanity first begins with the fact that there is a hue to the people involved. Once that E was removed, then you had something else, which is not humanity. And we need but just know history and know what these people have done to understand that there is no humanity there.
Wow. Thank you so much. And I like that connection. I love it when we are able to come together in spaces where conversation starts to connect. And Mama Makeda, if you would be so poetic and, you know, share a poem with us, give us the title and share it.
Wow. I'm debating which one to do. I'll do the one that's called See Your Way Clear.
Okay.
See Your Way Clear. Remove your white framed glasses. They're impeding your vision. They don't allow you to correctly hear, see, or listen, rendering you incapable of making in your best interest decisions because they got you wrapped up in Aryan white linens. With Isfet, confusion as your constant confliction, those glasses are your personal oppressive prison. A prison where living is oppressively hard and there ain't no get out of jail free card. Mm. And you're watched 24/7 by them prison guards who make their living surveilling you on that prison ward. And the ward done grants no pardons, and the atmosphere inside is not fire retardant. A prison where to get out of, you wouldn't dare. A prison where escape is fail-safe and extremely rare. Hmm. A prison where abso-goddamn-effin-lutely no one gives a care. A prison where like-minded shanksters are a godly pair. Hmm. A prison where everything and nothing is always fair game. A prison where contradicting wrong, you will need a prayer. Mm. Mama Harriet wasn't a taker. She was a giver, freeing more than 300 on plantations along the Combahee River. We came before Columbus, said Baba Ivan Van Sertima. And eat to live and not live to eat, said the Honorable Elijah. Without them effing glasses, you'll be able to tell fact from fiction, as did Dr. Conrad Worrell. Mm. You need to know who walked away becoming a traveler, speaking against enslavement, calling herself Sojourner. You need to know those initials of Du Bois, W.E.B., and who wrote about Developing Africa by Walter E. Mm. And speaking Madhu Netcher, what does that mean? Vibrating on a level between cosmic seen and unseen. So you must Sankofa go back in time in order to retrieve your melanin conscious mind. Mm. So without them damn glasses, you can make a clean break and prove the historical record like Diop onto shake. Restore your African eyesight by removing those glasses and wake up everybody that's asleep in the masses. Mm. Throw away your prison stripes and put on real clothes. Destroy your prison number, brothers and sisters, and get on code. Hotep.
Hotep.
Wow. Hotep. Hotep. Thank you so much for that wonderful poem. Mama Makeda, I really appreciate that. And I don't know who may or may not be aware, but July 18th is Baba Nelson Mandela's birthday. And I just wanted to share a quote of his and then just ask everyone to, and maybe just a sentence, if he were here right now, what would you like to say to him? You know, for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. Dr. Anderson, if Baba Nelson Mandela were right here, which he is spiritually, but I mean, if he were sitting right next to you, what would you like to say to him in a sentence?
I would say, I love you and thank you for all that you've done for humanity.
Wow, thank you. That's beautiful. I felt that. Mama Makeda, what would you say to Baba Nelson Mandela?
You know, he was one of the three men that I identify as I would have gladly married and had children for. So I just need to say that. But if he were sitting here right now, I would ask, where can I put my membership in the ANC?
Thank you.
Even today, you would say that? I mean, you would put your membership in the ANC today? I'm curious.
Whatever organization he belonged to.
Okay.
I would ask, where can I put my membership with under his tutelage?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mama Makeda. And Scalham Hawk, the poet, what would you ask Baba Nelson Mandela if he were right here?
I would ask him I would say to him, you know, I know that you had something more powerful in you to have stayed in prison so long and to return to society and become the man you became, even as president.
So what would you like to say to him? Would you like to?
I would say to him, I am proud of you and I love you.
Wow.
What's up?
Thank you.
What's up?
Thank you so much. I have to say that I'm really pleased with this conversation, everyone just being able to give us some information on their feelings about two of these holidays where you can have someone else on the call and they may have a totally different experience, which we all have different experiences anyway. But often those whose ancestry lies heavily within the belief of America being this great space for freedom where patriotism is on the tip of their lips, this conversation would have went totally different. But our lived conditions are not that of freedom in those terms. We know that we are free, but I like to say that anytime another man makes a decision to enslave you and also thinks that they have the power to free you, that speaks to their inhumanity, because no human, H-U-E-M-A-N, no human being has the power over any one person or collective group to decide when they are free.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Lainey.
So,
Good point.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to say that we are Speak Your Peace North Carolina, an organization that exists within Wilmington, North Carolina, where we create platforms that advocate for social equity through the arts. And for anyone that may be listening, on Friday evening at 7 p.m., we are going to be at a spot called View 21 North on 10th and Chestnut. The band will be there. The band is called Sultry Rain. We have a conscious message. We're going to have some poets, some community leaders there, and our theme is radical love, revolutionary words. So if you are in Wilmington or the surrounding areas, come to View 21 North Friday at 7 p.m. We would love to see you there. And also, we are so excited to share that we are going to be at WHQR, the beautiful McErnie Gallery, on August the 14th at 7 p.m., where those of you who may be listening might be wondering, well, who is Carrie Asada? Well, you'll have a chance to meet Carrie Asada on August the 14th, along with Scalham Hawk the poet. Mama Makeda will be here also. Dr. Lewis Anderson will be here in spirit unless he decides to come visit us in Wilmington, which he is always welcome. But at 7 p.m., we'll be here at WHQR. There's a $10 donation, but we're going to be doing a tribute to James Baldwin.
Fantastic.
Right? We love and respect him so much. Yes, and we just want to invite the listeners to go to the WHQR website and register to get your seat and support Speak Your Peace North Carolina, support the arts. And none of this would be possible without the support of WHQR. So can we just show NPR Radio some love and respect? Because we need WHQR in our community. We need WHQR for the world, because they get something out that this America is working desperately to shut tight closed. And that's the truth. So this is a station where you can rely on the truth. So let's give Ben Shockman some love.
Hotep.
And the whole staff at WHQR. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you, Dr. Lewis Anderson, for coming on this afternoon. I hope to see you in the future and have more conversations. Also, I want to thank you, Scale Hamhock, the poet, the co-founder of Speak Your Peace North Carolina. And I want to thank you, Mama Makeda, who is another mama in my life for me, a friend, a mentor. And also, I like to call her the Oracle. And I just love everyone here so much. And I think that as African people, we should definitely understand that we are the village. And Dr. Anderson, did you have something that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just, in closing, I want to thank you and the poet for trusting me enough to bring me into your life. I know on that very hot, humid celebration, we were all tired and we talked, and it's been real. And also, thank you guys for doing all you do for Wilmington, North Carolina, and humanity. Y'all are very blessed people, so thank you for all you do. And I hope that our relationship continues forever. And the other thing, Baldwin is one of my favorite poets, and I wanted to enter some of his things, but it was so rich and we did a lot, but I just want to acknowledge that he's one of my favorite poets as well, James Baldwin.
What's up?
Wonderful. Well, we'll be back here in August, and his birthday is August the 2nd. So when we get back, we will probably talk about him, and let's show Ben Shockman some more love, brothers and sisters.
Hotep. Thank you, Ben.
Yes, Ben. And I'm going to do an acrostic poem for Ben. And so B for brave, right? Because anytime you decide to work at a station and you are a journalist in this America, you have to be brave to just be able to come with the truth, right? Let's say E for
embracing.
Embracing. I love that, Mama Makeda. Yes, I love that. Yes, Ben has embraced this community, going forth with stories, keeping them real and honest. And N for
necessary.
Oh, let's give Mama Makeda some snaps. Okay. Thank you, Mama Makeda, for clearing that acrostic poem, necessary. So brothers and sisters, we need each other. And thank you all for being here for a poet's point of view. And everyone have a beautiful day.
That was From a Poet's Point of View, featuring artists organized by Speaky Piece NC and presented by WHQR. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we encourage you to explore some of the other perspectives we've featured here on WHQR Presents. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening. Fantasy, far from reality. Poetry is the language of imagination.